שלום חברים. ברוך הבא לכל מקשיבים. This is Dr. Duff Forbes, Rabbi Kehilat HaMashiach בתוך ישראל. Welcome, my friends, to this program entitled Treasures from Tanakh. My friends, among the fascinations of revealed truth is that which brings us authoritative tidings of an unseen creation. That is, a creation at present unseen by us, by human beings. In the Holy Scriptures, we read of spiritual intelligences, their various grades and orders, their interest and agency in the achievement and development of the divine purposes, and their attitude and intentions towards the Godhead. And whilst the material vouchsafed to us by divine revelation is not inconsiderable, yet it is true that it seems to have been restricted to areas of disclosure as they concern mankind. Now it is unfortunate that man has sought either to widen these areas of disclosure with his wild, grotesque, and fanciful imaginings, or else chained slavishly to his evolutionary hypotheses, he has whittled away these valuable deposits of truth by ascribing to them a character or origin other than that actually pertaining to them. Fortunately, however, in our sacred Jewish scriptures, we still have that deposit of revealed truth, if we desire to turn to it for our spiritual enlightenment, and we have an early introduction to one grade of these higher intelligences in the third chapter of Genesis, where, after the fall of man, we read, Vayigaresh et ha'adam, vayishkan mikedem legan Eden, et kruvim v'yet lahat hakerev, hamit hapechet lishmor et derek eitz hachayim. And he expelled the man, and he caused to dwell at the east of the Garden of Eden the cherubim and the flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way to the tree of life. Who or what are these cherubim? Are they living entities? Are they merely symbols? Or are they emblematic of such living entities? Rashi calls them destroying angels. But my researches in Tanakh, particularly in Ezekiel, incline me to the view that we have here symbolic representations of actual living intelligences, unseen by us, and who are in close proximity to the eternal God, and who enjoy a very privileged and superior function and service. Indeed, God is set to sit between the cherubim and to manifest his glory from their midst. One feels that one touches the fringe of divine mystery here, which makes it all the more interesting to find the cherubim artificially represented in pure gold and forming part of the kiporet, or lid, of the Ark of God in the Holy of Holies in the Mishkan, or tabernacle, which Moses was commanded to erect in the wilderness. You will find the biblical record commencing in the 25th chapter of Exodus. Here, at each end of the lid, and forming part of it, was a golden cherub. Each had golden wings outspread, and each faced the other. But the gripping factor is disclosed in verse 22, where the eternal God declares to our teacher Moses, and there I will meet with thee, and I will speak with thee from above the ark cover, from between the two cherubim. One of our ancient Jewish tradition adds that the voice that called Moses came from heaven in the form of a tube of fire and rested over the two cherubim. Whatever may be the imperfection of the verbal mode in which tradition expresses this fiery phenomenon, there can be no doubt about the phenomenon itself. There are frequent accounts in Scripture regarding the visible manifestation of the divine presence dwelling with Israel, and these same Scriptures convey the idea of the spectacle of a brilliant and most glorious light intimately associated with a cloud. Indeed, the cloud was the more constantly visible. But on particular occasions, the effulgence shone forth with unforgettable glory. For this uncreated illumination, this visible manifestation of the glory of our adorable God, we Jewish people have coined a beautiful word. I confess this word is not a scriptural one, but it is a designation possessing a rare and exquisite concept. I refer to the term Shekhinah. Its ideological origin is at least scriptural, for the Eternal had commanded Moses in these words, Va'asuli mikdash, va'shachanti b'tocham, and let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them. Let us take this fruitful stem, shachan, in our hands, and, like some sweet and juicy orange, let us squeeze from it its full and luscious meaning. In the text I have just quoted, we see that it means to dwell. Elsewhere it conveys the idea of an abiding place. It also indicates the reposeful action of lying down or resting at ease, an action applicable to either man or beast. And one can almost see the green pastures reflected in the still waters. Is it any wonder, then, that our Jewish tradition has seen in the heavenly fire and smoke of the altar the symbol of God's grace and reconciliation? And, in the uncreated illumination, the evidence of his personal presence, abiding peacefully among Israel in harmonious and protective fellowship. It is noteworthy that the first biblical occurrence of Shachan, to dwell, is associated with the first biblical occurrence of Keruvim, Cherubim, in that very 24th verse of the 3rd chapter of Genesis, which I quoted earlier. How justified, then, is our Jewish coinage of the word Shekhinah as linked in association with the golden cherubim, which formed an integral part of the Kaporet, the lid of the Ark of the God of Israel in the Holy of Holies. Let us now enrich ourselves by unearthing the supreme treasure of our present discourse. This we can do only by comparing the Genesis picture with the Exodus picture. The Genesis picture shows man being driven out from the garden, where once he had walked in the personal presence of the living God, and where the tree of life was located. Why the expulsion? Because man had sinned and forfeited God's presence, fellowship, and quality of life. How sad if this was the only picture. But it isn't. The Exodus picture shows man being invited and received again, representatively, into the personal presence of the living God, and into symbolic association with Aaron's rod, which had budded into life, thus stirring our memories of the tree of life in Eden's garden. What has caused this blessed transformation, this merciful metamorphosis? My friends, only the blood of atonement on the Kippuret, the ark cover. The blood makes all the difference. For did not our beloved Moses utter an eternal principle, an eternal divine principle, when he declared as the mouthpiece of God, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh atonement by reason of the life." Yes, indeed, where the blood of atonement is shed, the Shekhinah shines, and the redeemed man walks again with God, and will indeed dwell in the house of the Eternal forever, where guardian cherubim no longer prohibit the tree of life, but rather invite in praise to him who hath redeemed us by the blood of his Messiah, who loved us and gave himself for us. I shall have some wonderful things to tell you of the Shekhinah in my next message, so do be sure and listen again. Yivarecha Adonai v'yishmerecha, Ya'er Adonai panav eleicha v'hunecha, Yisar Adonai panav eleicha v'yaseim lecha shalom. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.